My name is Alex Medina. I'm a sports journalism broadcast student at ASU. Right now I'm in my senior year. It's been a lot of fun over there. I've known that I wanted to be in sports journalism and broadcasting since a very young age. Just at 6 years old, I wouldn't go to sleep unless ESPN was on TV, and I don't know a lot of other 6-year-olds who are like that, so it's kind of funny. And then coming into the broadcast world, I got started off with a internship with the Varsity Sports Show where I met Tyler, and then I also did some freelance writing with the East Valley Tribune, and then I worked for the Arizona Coyotes, and then they moved on to Utah, and here I am. So I'm back with the Varsity Sports Show this semester. I'm looking forward to the future to see what else comes my direction. I'm going to hand it over to Tyler so he can tell you guys about his story.
Hey guys, it's Tyler Hatala. I just recently graduated from GCU this last spring. So not in any school right now, just kind of doing my own thing here and there. But as Alex had previously mentioned, I was also part of the Varsity Sports Show. That's actually where we met. We became great friends off that internship. We did a couple games here and there for basketball, rugby, just some of those spring sports in the Arizona. And, it was kind of a fun thing because we met some amazing people along the way, being able to understand more of the professional concept of media and broadcasting and public speaking or even production, just anything like that. And it was a great experience for all of us to get a part of and understand where to go from there as we continue our career. But for me, I always liked sports growing up as a kid. I played it all the time. I watched it here and there, football, baseball, soccer, sometimes basketball. It was just one of those things that it was always different. You could never get the same thing repeated over and over again. And doing that as a kid growing up, I always wanted to be involved in the sports world somehow, whether it be recording the games, talking about the games, broadcasting the games, whatever it could be. I always found an interest in doing something like that. But from now, I'm still with the Varsity Sports Show, freelancing here and there, but we'll get started with the show and we're going to be actually start up with the NFL lineup. So if you want to take it away, Alex.
Yeah, so starting with week one of the NFL, which the Packers will be traveling over to actually Brazil to take on the Eagles. Who are you taking in this game? Jordan Love just became the Packers quarterback. He was there last season, obviously, but he just got a bigger contract heading into this season. So do you think the Packers will be able to take down the Eagles?
I think the Eagles will walk away with the win against the Packers. I mean, granted, you watched last season, the Eagles fell apart. Like, there's no denying the Eagles didn't fall apart halfway through the season. But this year, new running back with Saquon Barkley, that's a huge pickup. I don't know why the Giants even let him go in the first place. But Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith, like, that's a team you do not want to mess with offensively. Granted, the Packers are still a young team. Like you just mentioned, they have Jordan Love, who just got a huge multi-year contract. And then they have all their rookie or second-year receivers that made the team and took them to where they were last year as the seventh seed, being the Packers in the playoffs. But I just think the Eagles have too much on their team. Granted, they just lost Hassan Reddick in a trade to the Jets, but they also brought back Brian Huff, who's also a very strong edge rusher position for that team. You still have Jalen Carter, you still have Jordan Davis. And I know the team had just lost Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce to retirement. And those are really big losses for the team, but they wouldn't have left if they didn't think the Eagles were going to be better without them. And I do think the Eagles will walk away with this win. I don't think it'll be as close as the Chiefs and Ravens game. I think it'll be maybe a 10-point game, but I do see the Eagles walking away with the win this game.
Yeah. And you mentioned Jason Kelce left the team, but I don't think he did. I mean, I've heard that he's been in the training facility almost every day, which is very interesting. But like you mentioned, the Packers are a young team, the Eagles very experienced. So I am also going to take the Eagles for this one. It's going to be interesting to see what the Packers do this season. And even though they probably will not be leaving Brazil with the win, I do think that they will be a very successful successful team throughout the season, just like all of the other Packers quarterbacks that they've ever had. Now, moving on to the Steelers and the Falcons taking place in Atlanta, who are you taking for this one? I think we both know, but let's go over it.
Yeah, I think we both know too. I'm taking the Falcons. Obviously, you know, Steelers are in a kind of a rebuild mode. You know, you bring in Russell Wilson, who's been struggling with the Broncos. You bring in Justin Fields, who was struggling with the Bears. You know, both those quarterbacks have their ups and downs, but the Steelers ultimately picked Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback to start the season. Defensively, the team's amazing. You have TJ Watt, you have Alex Highsmith, and, you know, Cameron
Hayward,
who just, I think he just recently got a new deal, if I remember correctly. But that, like, that defense is not a defense you want to mess around with. But on the other hand, the Falcons offense is just too strong. I mean, last year, everyone thought the Falcons was going to be a playoff team with Desmond Ridder. And obviously, we didn't see that turn out the way that everyone wanted to, because, you know, Desmond Ridder just wasn't that great of a quarterback for the Falcons. And we see that with the Cardinals, as they traded him and released him for their practice squad. Now you have Kirk Cousins and the questionable draft pick of Michael Penix, who I think will ultimately become the franchise quarterback 2 years down the road. But the Falcons, you have Kyle Pitts, you have Drake London, you know, you have Bijan Robinson, who was a top five running back last year. And I just can't see the Falcons losing to the Steelers. Will it be a close game? Probably, but I think the Falcons have the upper hand defensively against that Steelers offense.
Yeah, I think so too. And with Kirk Cousins going over there, it's his first season with the Falcons. Like you mentioned, there's Drake London, Bijan Robinson. I do not see the Falcons losing this one. The Steelers, on the other hand, it's very interesting about what is going on over there in Pittsburgh with the team. They just brought over Russell Wilson from the Broncos, who gave him a huge contract. And then just a few seasons before that, they drafted Kenny Pickett. And then they just kind of like transitioned away from him. And then they brought over Justin Fields, who was a high draft pick from Chicago. And now they have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but they still are not projected to do that good throughout the season. I think that their defense is obviously on the stronger side for the team. So we're going to see how much the defense can play into their record this season. I think that it's going to be a bigger effect than the offensive side. So,
and I would go to say that the Steelers are probably going to have their first losing season with Mike Tomlin. I mean, Mike Tomlin pulls stuff all the time to have a winning record, but just with the team and where it's at right now, if the defense can't play up to the potential it's supposed to be, I could realistically seeing them have a losing record for the first time in Mike Tomlin's head coaching career with the Steelers.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then not only that, but I remember last season in a lot of the post conferences after the game, a lot of the reporters were actually asking Tomlin what his future was with the Steelers. And he's a experienced coach, and you would never ever think that it would get to that point. So we're going to see how the Steelers can navigate their way through the season. And we're also going to see how Kirk Cousins can lead the Falcons, and if he can do it, because a lot of people are taking his side and they say that yes, he's going to lead the Falcons to a successful season, which I think he will, but I guess we'll just have to see. So moving on, the Arizona Cardinals will be traveling to Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, to take on the Bills. Josh Allen, obviously a very experienced quarterback. Kyler Murray has been in the eye of a lot of people throughout the past few seasons after getting injured and then also having a little bit of a tough situation there with the Cardinals. But Tyler, what are you thinking about this game?
I have a little bias, I won't lie. I've been a Cardinal fan for almost 12 years, but looking at it on paper, I truly think the Cardinals can upset the Bills this year. I mean, the Bills' entire defense is gone. They don't have Tre'Davious White. They don't have Jordan Poyer. Matt Milano just went on IR to start the season. You know, there's not any big defensive players to the point where DeMar Hamlin, who was practice squad last year on the Bills, is their starting safety on Sunday. And realistically, like, The Bills defense does not scare me as much as it did before. Granted, you still have Von Miller, you still have Ed Oliver, you still have Greg Russo, and that D-line is something, but the Cardinals ramped up their offensive line this last season. They still have Kyler Murray, who can still run the ball. They just picked up Marvin Harrison in the draft with the number 4 pick. I think everyone is doubting the Cardinals, but I would not be shocked if the Cardinals came out and beat the Bills. Granted, Josh Allen is always going to be Josh Allen. He's going to be making plays. He's a quick player, throw the ball fast, make plays when something's not there. And that's what scares me about the Cardinals, is that their defense is probably within the bottom 10 of the NFL. They're very young. They're very inexperienced. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Bills pulled away from the Cardinals to win the game. But I really do think the Cardinals will upset the Bills this Sunday with Marvin Harrison and James Conner. And especially watching last season when the Cardinals ended, where they beat the Eagles and the Steelers and the Falcons. Like, that Cardinal team is no joke when Kyler Murray came back. And to start the season with Kyler Murray, that's a completely different story, learning that whole offensive scheme. And I could see the Cardinals upsetting the Bills this Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to agree with you, and I'm taking the Cardinals for this one. You know, Josh Allen is obviously a good quarterback. He's led the team to a long way past the beginning stages of the playoffs, and they're looking to do it again. But I personally don't think that the Bills will make it that far in the playoffs if they do make it to the playoffs, which I'm sure that they will, I'm guessing. But I know that the Cardinals, they've had a lot of people come over to their team. They have Sean Murphy Bunting, a center back who started with the Buccaneers, then went on to the Titans, and now is on the Cardinals. So he's a big asset to the defensive side of the Cardinals, along with Buda Baker, who has been there a few seasons now. And then obviously on the offensive side, they have Trey Benson and then Marvin Harrison Jr., who a lot of people are going to be watching this season just because of the mark that his dad left on the game, but also the mark that he left at Ohio State. But for this matchup, I am going to go with the Cardinals. I think that they will be able to upset the Bills in their own stadium. And then if we fast forward a little bit, the Tennessee Titans will be taking on the Chicago Bears, with their rookie quarterback, that's Caleb Williams, who just got drafted from USC. And then the Titans, obviously, they had a little bit of a stir up with their quarterback situation, and now they're being led by Will Levis, who was just drafted, I believe it was last year, but it's going to be a very interesting one. You know, DeAndre Hopkins for the Titans is out, so that kind of sets them back a little bit. So for that one, I am going to take the Bears. Tyler, who are you thinking for that one at Soldier Field?
You know, there's been a long history with number one picks losing their first game. It's actually been on record that the last time a number one pick has won their first game was when David Carr was drafted to the Texans back in 2002. I think that changes Sunday with Caleb Williams. I mean, you look at that offense with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift as their starting running back now. That offense is just way too overstacked for that rookie quarterback to be losing against the Titans. Granted, like I said earlier, the Titans have Legarius Sneed from the trade from the Chiefs. Like you mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins is out for the Titans for the first couple of games. Will Levis started to pick up production towards later of the last season as a rookie. They just picked up Calvin Ridley, and you know, they kind of bolstered up their offense here and there. But I really do think the Bears will walk away with the win. Especially defensively, like, their defense will probably be within the top 10, I could say. You know, you have Montez Sweat, you have Jalen Johnson, who've all played fantastic for the Bears the last season. And, you know, starting off strong with Caleb Williams, everyone has high hopes for Caleb Williams, but I do think he's going to walk away with the win against the Titans come Sunday.
Yeah, and then continuing on with the Sunday games, the New England Patriots will be playing against the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, but not just Joe Burrow. There's still T. Higgins and then Ja'Marr Chase. He will probably maybe be playing, but maybe not. There's been some stir up with his situation. Anyways, I still think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to take down the Patriots Gerard Mayo took over as the head coach this season after Bill Belichick. There was a little bit of a situation with him, and they didn't know what was going to happen. A lot of people were upset about that just because of Bill Belichick's history with the franchise. And then obviously they brought in Gerard Mayo, who is a former player for the Patriots. And then the Patriots went on to draft Drake May in the first round of the draft, except they are not going to be starting him this season. So anyways, I still think that the Bengals are a better team overall, and I'm going to have to roll with the Bengals on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Bengals too. I think the Bengals will actually blow out the Patriots to start their season. Like you mentioned, Jacoby Brissett is their starting quarterback. Ramondre Stevenson still their starting running back. But they really don't have a starting number one receiver for the Patriots, where the Bengals have two. And one of them might potentially not play, and we'll talk about that later with Ja'Marr Chase. But you still have T. Higgins. They just picked up Mike Gesicki. And then they just went on to draft another rookie running back after they released Joe Mixon. And they also have Zach Moss, who is playing with the Bengals now. And their defense is still top 15, I would say. Not super great, but not super bad either. They can play great when they need to. For this Patriots team, it's just too inexperienced, and I don't think they stand a chance.
They're going to be building for a long time now. And when you look at the Bengals and Joe Burrow, you know, a lot of people give him a lot of credit. He did a great job over at LSU when he played in his college days, and you look at him now, he's still a good quarterback, but I really do think that a lot of people give him more credit than they should. Moving on, one quarterback who does not get too much credit is CJ Stroud with the Texans. The Texans will be taking on the Indianapolis Colts in Lucas Oil Stadium, and I don't even know if we have to answer this one. You know, the Texans dominated last season. CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. So I really do think that the Texans are going to do very, very, very good this season. And then when you look at the Colts, they are a good team. You know, Anthony Richardson led them for a little while last season until he got hurt. And then obviously they have Jonathan Taylor. So I do think that the Colts will be good this season, but I'm taking the Texans for this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with you on that one. I think the Texans will win the game. However, I don't think it's going to be that much of a blowout. I think the Colts will actually keep it close for the remainder of the game. And the reason I say that is because we didn't see Anthony Richardson play much. We saw him play the first four games, and when he did play, he played like he was a top five quarterback, kind of like a Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, where he could run the ball, do some amazing juke moves. If he wanted to, he could run someone over, chuck the ball 70 yards downfield. And Anthony Richardson was that quarterback. But the thing was, is he could not protect himself. And when we saw him play the Texans last year, he actually made it a close game until he went out with that concussion. And then the Texans blew him out of the water. But I think if Anthony Richardson stays healthy, he will have a bigger impact in the game than people expect. And I really do think it'll be a closer game than a lot of people think. But again, I do think the Texans run away with the game. They have Joe Mixon. They have Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, CJ Stroud. They have the defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson. And then, you know, they have Derek Stingley and all these great young defensive players on that side of the ball. But I do think it's going to be a close game that the Texans eventually do pull away from.
Awesome. And then moving on, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Miami Dolphins. This one is going to be interesting. I still think that the Miami Dolphins will take this one away with Tyreek Hill. And then they got Jaylen Waddle, and they have Devon Achane, Tua Tagovailoa, and it's going to be interesting to see what Tua can do this season. You know, there was some question about him last season, and obviously with his injury that he suffered not too long ago, people were kind of wondering if he could get back to how he first started in the NFL. And then with the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have Trevor Lawrence, who is a decent quarterback, and then they got Christian Kirk. And they got rid of Calvin Ridley. He went over to Tennessee. But it's going to be interesting to see. I really don't think that the Jags are going to be that great this season. You know, these last few seasons, we've seen them improve tremendously over the past 10 years. And when you look at the Dolphins, their roster is just stacked. But it's interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize all of the players on the field, because they do have what it takes and they have the team to make it to a Super Bowl, but they have not proven it to the fans yet.
Like you had mentioned, the Jaguars, like, they're in a weird fit where they can be good, but I don't think they're going to quite go over that hump, if that makes sense. I think the Jaguars will end up being a mediocre team. Obviously, playing against the Dolphins to start the season opener is probably going to show what Jacksonville needs to work on. But Dolphins, I think, will take away the game. Like you mentioned, Tyreek Hill, runner-up for Offensive Player of the Year last year. You have Tua, who just signed a crazy franchise deal for the Dolphins. And then you have Waddell. And then you have Achan, who's going to take the number one spot running back from Raheem Mostert. They just picked up Calais Campbell, and I think that's a very underrated pickup from the Dolphins. You know, Calais Campbell, he's on the older side of 30, but he still can produce big numbers for defensive players. Obviously, he's been in the league for quite some time, but he knows how to get through and through and make defensive plays here and there. Just last year with the Jaguars, I was kind of unimpressed with how they ended the season. You know, they had the number one spot, lost to the Titans, and then Texans eventually took over, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they have Christian Kirk. They just picked up Gabe Davis from the Bills. And then they have Travis Etienne, who's always been a top-tier running back. But I do think the Dolphins win this game.
Yeah, and then when you look at the next game, it's the Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young and then Adam Thielen taking on the New Orleans Saints in Caesars Superdome, which is obviously in New Orleans. Now, I don't know about this one. You know, the Saints are a good team. They have Alvin Kamara. Derek Carr is still their leading quarterback. They have a few great receivers. Chris Olave. And then when you look at the Panthers, you know, obviously they did not do good last season at all, but they had a little bit of a coaching situation and an owner situation. So I'm not really sure who I'm going to roll with. I'm just going to take the Saints on this one just because they have Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave. And I think they're more experienced. So I'm going to roll with the Saints.
Yeah, and I'm going to roll with the Saints too. Saints, you know, games against divisional rivals, it's always a tough matchup because you always want to prove that you can beat your defensive rival in a game, especially to start a season opener. But I don't know, just watching the Panthers play last season, I do think Bryce Young will step up this year. But I think to start the game, I think it'll be a slow start for Bryce Young. I mean, granted, they picked up Xavier Leggett from the previous draft. And, you know, they kind of built around Bryce Young, which is a great thing to do for a young quarterback. And, you know, they just picked up Jadeveon Clowney from the Ravens. But I don't think this team is going to keep up with the Saints. I mean, Chris Olave, you have Taysom Hill, who's great with trick plays. Alvin Kamara, who's hit or miss on some plays. And you still have Cameron Jordan, who's still keeping up for the Saints. And it'll probably be a close game. I think the Saints will pull it off, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers pulled off a win in week one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm taking the Saints. Now, moving on, the Minnesota Vikings with the New York Giants. You know, I'm taking the Vikings. The Giants are just not very good. You know, the Vikings, they have Justin Jefferson, and then they have, like, Jordan Addison, and they have some good players, but they just drafted J.J. McCarthy from Michigan after he won the national championship. And then he suffered a knee injury, so he's not going to be playing this entire season. So the Vikings are stuck with a little bit of a situation when it comes to their quarterback, but I'm still going to take the Vikings. I think that they'll be able to work it out. They do still have Justin Jefferson, so as long as they can get the ball in his hands, I think that they will be able to maintain at least a somewhat of a winning record this season.
And like you had mentioned with J.J. McCarthy, I think everyone had high hopes for JJ McCarthy and I'm taking the starting quarterback role for the Vikings. I mean, granted, there was talks here and there that he was going to sit out the season and learn from Sam Darnold, who's the starting quarterback now. But like you mentioned, they have Justin Jefferson, they have Jordan Addison. They just picked up Aaron Jones from free agency. I mean, on paper, the Vikings look like a good team, but their offensive line is what scares me. I mean, Sam Darnold, he played great with the Niners last year as a backup role. I think him getting this chance to get a starting position again will help him, you know, boost his morale. But like we saw with the Panthers and the Jets, I wouldn't be shocked if he took a step back from where he was with the Niners. I personally could see the Giants walking away with the win if the Vikings aren't careful. But I do think the Vikings will walk away with the win. But the Giants defense added a whole bunch of potential to their team with trading for Brian Burns from the Panthers. That was a big blockbuster trade that the Giants pulled away from. But on the other hand, they also lost Saquon Barkley to free agency. So now you have Daniel Jones with Malik Nabers, with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns rushing from the edge, and Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defensive line. That defense for the Giants could potentially be a top 15 defense in the league, but it all depends on quarterback play. If Daniel Jones plays great, I think the Giants pull away with the win. If Sam Darnold plays great, I think the Vikings will pull away with the win. If both quarterbacks play at the same level, I think the Vikings will walk away with the win this game.
Yeah, I really do think that the Vikings will take it this week. Now, heading over to the Raiders and Chargers, you know, the Raiders, obviously, they just got Gardner Minshew, and he's going to be leading their team this season, along with a tight end who they just drafted in the first round. That is Brock Bowers, who is projected to do really good for the team. And then they have Davante Adams. They got him a few seasons ago when Derek Carr was the quarterback in Las Vegas. And then obviously Derek Carr went on to the Saints, and then the rest was history. But the Chargers, they are faced with getting Herbert back on his game. Now, Justin Herbert was just out for a little while after suffering a finger injury and plantar fascia. He, I believe, started practicing again. So we're going to see what he can do coming into the season. But the Chargers are another one of those teams that they did really, really, really good for a few seasons, and then they just kind of started to decline. And I really do not see them going back to an incline and then getting over the hump. Like, kind of like the Jags, you know, it's just the same thing. They have good players, they can win, but you just don't ever know with them. So what are you thinking about this one, Tyler? So, I didn't tell you who I think is going to win. So the Raiders, you know, obviously not the greatest team, and they're going through some change with Gardner Minshew and their quarterback situation. But I really do think that the Raiders will probably take the win this game. But I really do think it's going to be a close game.
I think the Chargers are going to walk away with the win. And granted, we saw last year how the last game between these two teams went. Joe Staley got fired and Chargers lost 63-3. But I do think it'll be a different story now that the Chargers have Jim Harbaugh after he left Michigan. Obviously, the wide receiver core on the Chargers is not the greatest. I mean, you have Ladd McConkley and you have Josh Palmer and, you know, that kind of offense. But you just picked up Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, who both injury-prone running backs. But I think behind that offensive line that the Chargers have, I think the running attack will be great for that team. And if J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards can stay healthy for part of the season, I think they will be a top rushing attack team in the league. And obviously, defensively, you still have Joey Bosa, you still have Khalil Mack, and that kind of defense with Kenneth Walker and all of them. And I could honestly see this team walking away with the win against the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders, you have Gardner Minshew, and he was decent last year as a starting quarterback for the Colts. Max Crosby, who's always a defensive player of the year candidate, and with Davante Adams, like you just mentioned, you have Brock Bowers, and they just got rid of Josh Jacobs as the Packers picked him up, but they still have Zahir White. as their starting running back, which I think he'll make a good impact on this Raiders team, but it really just comes down to how the quarterback play is. I think the Chargers will walk away with the win this game. I think Justin Herbert will get his foot in the right direction, but I just don't think the Raiders have the experience to beat the Chargers to start the season.
We're going to head over to the Broncos and the Seahawks game. You know, the Seahawks just released Pete Carroll. Well, he obviously retired, but he's not there anymore. The Broncos with Sean Payton and Bo Nix, who is a rookie quarterback who will be leading the team. He was named the starting quarterback this season. And then obviously they just extended Patrick Surtain III. So I don't know. You know, the Broncos, I think they have potential to be good. We're going to see what Bo Nix can do over there in Denver. You know, during his preseason game, he did really good. So we're going to see if he can move that to the actual games. And then the Seahawks, they're stuck with Geno Smith. And anyways, I really do think that the Broncos will find a way to get it done. And I do not think that's the popular answer for this game. The game is in Seattle at Lumen Field, but I really do have a feeling that the Broncos will find a way to get it done.
Yeah, you know, I can see why you think the Broncos will get it done. I mean, Bo Nix was a Heisman finalist last year in his final year with Oregon. We did see he has a ton of potential in the preseason where he played a couple of games here and there. I just think Seattle, especially with their new head coach from the Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, I think he is going to change the Seattle team defensively. Geno Smith, granted, is probably going to retire within the next year or two. He's on the decline. I think he practically robbed Seattle when he signed that three-year deal. I told people that. I was like, I don't think Geno Smith is that great of a quarterback. I think he had a fluke season. But regardless, you still have Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You still have DK Metcalf. You still have Kenneth Walker. And just that offensive alone with those players mentioned can make a team great. Because any one of those receivers that I had just mentioned could be a wide receiver one on a lot of teams. And then the defense isn't stellar, but it's still above average. And I do think they have a better defense compared to the Broncos, but I do think Seattle will pull away a win just because it's in Seattle. You know, you have 12 fan base and that kind of playing field as a rookie quarterback will probably give you some nerves playing against that big of a crowd.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the Cowboys and the Browns will be also taking place this weekend. But this game in Cleveland at the Cleveland Browns Stadium, Dak Prescott and his team, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Mike McCarthy, they'll be traveling over to Cleveland, taking on the Browns. That's Deshaun Watson. I believe Nick Chubb's still on the Browns. Anyways, when it comes to who I think is going to win this game, it could go either way, really. I think both teams are good, but I do think the Cowboys have the advantage. I don't really think that... So the Browns had a little bit of a situation last season. I remember when Joe Flacco took them into the playoffs, he did really good with them. He came off the couch, took them into the playoffs. There was even a little bit of time where people thought he would be the MVP, which was a whole other conversation. But coming to this game, I really do think that the Cowboys are going to walk away with the win. CeeDee Lamb, obviously amazing. So I will be taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I'm going to be taking the Cowboys too. I know that's the unpopular answer because everyone thinks the Browns are going to walk away with this win, but you can't get in the way of Dak and CeeDee Lamb. Granted, CeeDee Lamb is questionable to play with his whole holdout that he had in the preseason. He's trying to get back on track to play. But I think if CeeDee Lamb plays, I think the Cowboys' offense is completely revamped, and that will automatically put them above where the Browns are offensively. I mean, Deshaun Watson, consistently injured. He hasn't been playing to the level he should be playing with what he's getting paid. Obviously, they just got Jerry Jeudy from a trade. They still have Amari Cooper. Nick Chubb isn't playing for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, because of his knee injury they had last year. But you have the reigning defensive player of the year with Myles Garrett. You still have Denzel Ward, who's still a great corner for that team. And, you know, reboosting that defensive side of the ball. I think the Browns do have the upper edge defensively, but Myles Garrett is a person you can't count out, especially with him playing more linebacker defensive end this year. I think they had just come out and said that he's going to play more inside linebacker, but you still can't take that away from Myles Garrett. You still have DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been a rusher for the Cowboys over the years. And, you know, they just lost Jerron Bland to injury, but they brought back Trayvon Diggs. And he's still playing to a Pro Bowl level, but I do think the Cowboys walk away with this win over the Browns, and I do think the Browns will have a mediocre season again like they did last year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So heading on to the next game, the Washington Commanders traveling over to Raymond James Stadium to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaden Daniels just became the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Obviously, they have Jahan Dotson and Austin Ekeler went over to play for the Commanders. So they do have a good-looking roster for Washington. And then when you look at Tampa Bay, obviously a good roster as well. They have Baker Mayfield leading their team. Then they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And Rashad White, he's pretty decent. Anyways. Even though the Buccaneers are very good, I don't really know. You know, I really could see this game going either way. The Buccaneers had a good run last season, but I don't know. You know, I will say I'm going to take the Buccaneers because it is in Tampa Bay, and Jaden Daniels, it's his first game of his NFL career, and I'm going to take the Buccaneers just because they're more experienced. Tyler, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Buccaneers too. I mean, you look at it from this standpoint, Jaden Daniels, he's a rookie quarterback. He's playing under Cliff Kingsbury, who, in my opinion, being a Cardinals fan, is not a great offensive coordinator. And I think Commander fans will start to realize that as he's calling plays. There's a lot of screen plays. There's not a lot of formation flips. There's not a lot of rotating receivers to different spots. And I think overall, I think the Buccaneers just have a better roster. You know, Chris Godwin's playing the slot. He's going to have, in my opinion, an all-pro year again playing slot. You have Mike Evans, who just re-signed for 2 years. Tristan Wirfs just got a hefty deal of $140 million for 5 years. The defense is still decent. I just can't see the Commanders walking away with the win. And I would go to say that the Buccaneers probably would blow out the Commanders with the team that they have. Granted, I mean, you still have Brian Robinson. You still have Austin Ekeler, who just signed with the Commanders. But I think the team is just in too new of a phase to keep up with the Buccaneers this game.
Yeah, the Bucs are more experienced. So we're going to see how the Commanders deal with that. But moving on to the nighttime games, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time, the Los Angeles Rams will be traveling to Detroit to face off against the Detroit Lions at Ford Field. And this one, it's a no-brainer for me. I am taking the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff, obviously leading his team to a great, great, great spot in the playoffs. Almost took down the 49ers and headed to the Super Bowl, but they just could not get it done within the last few minutes of the game. You know, they got Amon-Ra St. Brown and Aiden Hutchinson, David Montgomery. The Lions roster is stacked. And then when you look at the Rams, they have Matthew Stafford. They got Kyren Williams. They have some good players. Cooper Kupp. Except the Lions are better. I am taking the Lions. And I would take them all day, every day. I am going with the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lions too. And I say this because the Rams, and granted, the Rams offense is still very great offense with Stafford, Kupp, Puka, Williams. They just brought in Blake Corum from the draft. But the defensive side of the ball is what scares me. Obviously, you have Kobe Turner. You just picked up Jared Verse from the draft. You had Byron Young, who was a pretty good outside linebacker for the Rams. And, you know, you just signed Tre'Davious White from the Bills. The one thing that concerns me with the Rams, though, no Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald was the lifesaver for this Rams defense. I think without him, this defense is a completely different defense. I think a lot of people feared Aaron Donald and played around him, where now you don't have that presence and you're going to have to roll with who you got. Kobe Turner, granted, will probably be a smaller version of Aaron Donald, I could see, but no one can replicate what Aaron Donald did for that Rams defense. Lions, on the other hand, Aiden Hutchinson, young offensive team, ballsy head coach, strong defensive team. I think the Lions roll away with this game against the Rams, especially at Ford Field. Sellout season for the Lions. I think the Lions run high into this game.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to agree with you. Plus, their coach, Dan Campbell, a total powerhouse when it comes to coaches, who also played for the Lions. So we're just going to have to see what happens in that game, and we'll see how those teams turn out to be throughout the season. Okay, now heading over to San Francisco on Monday, it will be the New York Jets versus the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Rodgers came back for the Jets after being injured all of last season and got hurt in the first game that he played in the first quarter after just a couple of snaps. But anyways, he has some offensive weapons around him. There's Garrett Williams, there's Breece Hall, there's Tyler Conklin. And then when you head over to the 49ers, I really do not think that there is any team that has a better roster than them. And if there is, I think obviously it would be the Chiefs. But the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey, who is a total powerhouse, a generational player. And then they got Brock Purdy, who just led them to the Super Bowl. They couldn't get it done, but it was a great game. I remember it went into overtime, and then obviously the Chiefs won. But anyways, so for this game, I really do think it is going to be a close game. I do not think that it will be high scoring. And I think I'm going to take the upset here. And the unpopular opinion, I am going to have to take the New York Jets.
I did not think that you were going to take the Jets.
I think I have to. You know, the 49ers, they're so good. They got George Kittle, Trent Williams, all these great names. Except then when you look at the Jets, I cannot see them losing. And the only reason why I am taking the Jets is because of their experience. And like Aaron Rodgers, very experienced compared to Brock Purdy. You know, Brock Purdy is a great quarterback. He led them to a lot of success. Except I think that this is the game for Aaron Rodgers to say, I'm back.
I can see that. The thing is for me is Aaron Rodgers still going to play at that level that he played 2 years ago, coming back from Achilles injuries, playing on this Jets roster? I don't know. Because granted, he had a lot of hype going to the Jets, and going into this offseason was just a mess. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went on some mission trip and wasn't in the mandatory OTAs. He's getting into fights with Garrett Wilson, talking about plays, this and that. I mean, I don't know. This Jets team just is too dysfunctional for me to beat this Niners team at all. I mean, Hassan Reddick is holding out. They don't really have a big defensive end edge rusher to apply pressure on Brock Purdy, especially with them now re-signing Trent Williams to an extension. And now you have Brandon Ayuk, who just got an extension. Debo, who's been playing great. You have CMC, who's been phenomenal offensive player of the year last year, rightfully deserved. George Kittle, you know, defensive line, you have Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave. I can't see it, especially with Fred Warner being the quarterback of that defense. I can't see them losing to the Jets. And you could say, you know, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, talk about all of them. But I think this Niners team's too good for this Jets team. And I honestly do think the Niners will blow out the Jets, especially now that Leonard Floyd is on the 49ers. And, you know, I can't see the Niners losing to the Jets.
Well, listening to you say all that is changing my mind here. You know, when you think about it and when you kind of go back into last season and just picture McCaffrey just tearing the field up, you know, nothing can stop him. Like, give the ball to him and he'll run it. It's like, seriously, what is it going to take to stop him? And and then when you look at the Jets, you know, I don't know. You know, their roster is just stacked. I remember last season, I was just thinking, because they had obviously Zach Wilson and all their quarterback problems. You know, I remember just thinking, I was like, if they had a good quarterback, they would be a really, really, really good team just because of all the players they have. But I don't know, you know, I really could obviously see the 49ers winning, but I don't know. I just, every season there's like this feeling for the first week where I'm like, no, I really do think this team's going to win. And I think that this season it's in that game. I remember last season, believe it or not, when the Lions played the Chiefs, I was like, I really think that somehow the Lions are going to win. I don't know how. I really don't, but I did. And so I'm still going to stick with the Jets. I would not be surprised if the 49ers won, but I'm going to take the Jets. So anyways, after you guys heard all of our picks for the first week, obviously there's some games going on in Brazil this week. That is the Packers and the Eagles. The NFL is trying to move games internationally to bring in some more fans and also include more people. And then there was some talk that they wanted to move the Super Bowl overseas. And I don't know how I feel about that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, we talked about the other day with the NFL having some idea of moving a Super Bowl to like London. I remember that was like in the news for a little bit. I don't know. I feel like football is an American sport, and moving it across the world would take a lot of viewership away from the NFL. I mean, granted, the NFL with the Super Bowl brings in a ton of viewerships every year from around the world. I mean, I remember my grandpa, when he was 7, he told me he listened to the first Super Bowl on his radio in Japan. And, you know, that's how big of an impact the NFL has across the world. But I think moving it to London would see a very negative impact for the NFL for that Super Bowl, because, you know, it's just too much money. And I think with that, especially the time zone difference, I think that would be a huge issue too, because rather than playing it at, you know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, ending around 9 o'clock sometimes, I think it would start around 10 o'clock in the morning, end around 4 o'clock, and then everyone be like, well, what the hell do we do with the rest of our day? Or even, you know, it might be played on a Saturday. And that's different for the NFL because all the big games are held on Sunday. I mean, it's literally called the big game for a reason. But I think keeping it in America would, you know, keep its viewership up and still bring in a ton of money. But I don't think moving it outside the country is a good idea.
I do not think that they should move it outside of the country. So I am going to agree with you. I think that even though they want to include more people and, you know, get a bigger audience, I really don't agree with it. You know, the football obviously started here, and I just think that it should stay here. I think that it would kind of create a disadvantage, like you said, about having to wake up so early. And then it's just, it really takes away from the sport. And even I would say the same thing with soccer in Europe. You know, I don't think that they should bring it over here because I think it would take away from where it originated. So anyways, I do think, I will say though, I think that the Super Bowl should stick here. But I do think that it's cool to see games take place in other countries. So I will agree on that part, but Super Bowl should be staying here. Okay, moving on to Super Bowl predictions. I know it's very, very early, but we're going to give you our picks. Tyler, why don't you start us off?
So, as much as a Cardinals fan that I am, I do have to think the Niners go to the Super Bowl again. And it's not just because, you know, they're a good team. I think, one, they're the most complete team in the NFL. Two, they have that chemistry regarding, you know, the contract holdouts and stuff. Their team is still very good. You still have Trent Williams, who has been a three-year first-team All-Pro. McCaffrey is still playing. Debo making his impact. The defense is top five, top three defense every year. And I don't see anyone on the NFC side that can compete with that team, except for maybe the Lions. And even the Packers last year, we saw how young of a team they were. I just can't realistically see them beating the Niners again this year. Now, for the AFC side, I do think the Texans take the AFC championship. Everyone's talking about the Chiefs three-peat. I can't see it. There's been too much drama. I mean, granted, you could say the same thing about the 49ers, but the drama with Harrison Butker, you know, the problems with Rashee Rice and just their rookie player that they picked up who got arrested twice in like a week. And there's just too much drama. And now you have Xavier Worthy, who I think could potentially be a top rookie if he can get past presses with the corners. Because every time I see him get pressed, he's always end up on the floor. But Mahomes, you know, makes things happen here and there. But I really do think the Texans will take that next step and make their first Super Bowl appearance in their franchise. I think C.J. Stroud is a great quarterback. Give him the roster that he does now with Collins, Dell, Diggs, Mixon. You know, he still has that great defense with Will Anderson, with Stingley, and, you know, making that type of impact on the team. I think the Texans will make it all the way to the Super Bowl. We saw it last year. They had glimpses here and there. Some games they couldn't quite get over that hump, but I do think this year they will get over that hump and make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to agree with you on the Texans. I really do think that for the AFC side, they will make it to the Super Bowl, especially with C.J. Stroud leading the team. If he can stay healthy throughout the season, they have some big names, Stephon Diggs, who just went over there from the Bills. Obviously, the team will be utilizing him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought him over. And then they have Joe Mixon, Tank Dell. They got Nico Collins. They really do have a great team. So I am going to stick with the Texans for the AFC side. I do not think that the Chiefs can do it for the same reason as you. There's too much drama going on. They have had a dramatic offseason, and I really do think that it will be too hard to go back to back to back. I mean, can they do it? Yes, realistically, they can, except it will be very hard for them to get to that point. And then on the NFC side, this is going to be crazy. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams on the NFC side, but I am going to have to do a rematch of the NFC Championship from last season, which was the San Francisco 49ers against the Detroit Lions, except this time, I do think the Lions will be able to get it done and head to the Super Bowl. And the reason for that, the reason why I think that the 49ers will fall short, and who knows, they might not, because they do have everything they need in order to get back and in order to win. Now, we don't know. Maybe they'll go back and win the whole thing this year. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But when it comes to the Lions and 49ers, if it were to happen again, I really do think the Lions would win because of the experience that Jared Goff has. Brock Purdy, great. He did great. He's led his team to a lot of success since he's been with the 49ers. Except I really just have to go with whoever has more experience. And that's obviously Jared Goff. So for that reason, I'm taking the Lions and Texans.
I mean, I do agree with you with the Jared Goff and that whole aspect with the team. I think last year the Lions could have definitely had made it to the Super Bowl had Dan Campbell toned down, you know, the gutsy calls here and there. But knowing Kyle Shanahan, he'll find a way to revamp his offense. And granted, he might not change it because like we saw last year in the Super Bowl, they were up and then he still kept trying to outscore the Chiefs when he should have just ran down the clock. But I do think if Dan Campbell can be not so super aggressive in the playoffs, I think they have a chance to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see, you know, obviously Brock Purdy's good, except there is obviously a bad game for everybody. And who knows, that bad game could possibly be in the NFC Championship. And we have seen him not do that great in specific games. And I'm not really sure. And, you know, there is a lot of instances in which quarterbacks do amazing one season and then they fizzle out the next. Now, do I think that will be the case for Purdy? I don't. Except could it be? And yes, it could be for anybody. So we're going to have to see what happens. That's our picks for now. Obviously, it's very early. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But there is a few things that we would like to cover with the listeners. Starting off as a few teams in which we think is important to mention. Now, the Vikings for the first topic, it is the Vikings. And the reason why we want to talk about this is because Justin Jefferson, one of the best receivers, if not the best in the league, is stuck with no reliable quarterback. You know, we mentioned earlier, J.J. McCarthy got hurt, and now Sam Darnold will be in the circle along with Jefferson and all the other players of the Vikings. But can he still lead the Vikings to a winning season?
You know, I do think Justin Jefferson can lead his team to a winning season. Because like we mentioned earlier, Sam Darnold's not a terrible quarterback. Is he a top 15 quarterback? Probably not. But Justin Jefferson elevates that team offensively just because of name and, you know, being able to work his magic here and there. But in a similar instance, it's one of those things where it's like he's not a one-man show team. You know, if you shut down Justin Jefferson, then, you know, there might be some questionable decisions here and there with Sam Darnold or even questionable decisions with head coaching like calls and stuff like that. But I do think there is a chance Justin Jefferson will have the team as a winning record, but it won't be that big. It'll probably be like an 8-9 record, you know, middle round pick, but he's not going to be playing the way he was last year with Kirk Cousins or even the year before.
Yeah, I agree. And another team that has been in the spotlight lately is the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously they have a great receiver. That's Davante Adams. And then they just drafted the tight end Brock Bowers in this last draft, except they don't have a great quarterback either. It's Gardner Minshew. Now, the Raiders have never been amazing. Now, I'll just say it how it is. But can they do better than they did last season with this trio? And I think, honestly, I think that they will. I think they won't make it to the playoffs. But I don't think that they will be as bad as they were last season. I think that Minshew can kind of pick it up. You know, he's not a great quarterback, but he's not terrible.
Yeah, and, you know, Minshew, like you said, Minshew's not a terrible quarterback. But I do think the offense is just slacking a little bit. I mean, you do lose Josh Jacobs. You know, offensive line's not great. You have Davante Adams, you have Hunter Renfro, you still have Jacoby Myers, who, you know, that wide receiver core is decent. You add on Brock Bowers, that adds on a whole new receiving threat to that team. I do think the Raiders will beat expectations, but it won't be by a lot. I do think next year the Raiders will be a top 5 to top 10 pick. I could realistically more top 5. You know, and I think they'll pick up a quarterback. I know Shedeur Sanders is declaring for the draft next year. I could definitely see the Raiders picking him up for the team, but I do think that they'll play better than expected, but it'll still be one of those things where, you know, Minshew isn't good enough to take them far.
Yeah. And then another team that has been in the spotlight is the Chicago Bears. Obviously, they just drafted Caleb Williams in the first round, first pick from USC. And then they have a lot of other offensive weapons on their team. Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, some great names, great players. And I really do think that the Bears will be able to make it to the playoffs. Now, I do not think that they will go far into the playoffs, but I do think that they'll make it. And the reason why I don't think they'll make it far, and who knows, they might. It just kind of depends on who peaks at the right time. But the reason I think that they won't make it far is because Caleb Williams is brand new to the league. And when brand new players come in, rookies, the veteran players try and get them on the defensive side. They have it out for them. So I am not sure. What are you thinking about this? Do you have a specific take on this?
I do think the Bears have a higher chance to make the playoffs. I think the division that they're in is going to make it tough for them. And, you know, their schedule is going to also make it harder for them too. But, you know, that higher power offense you were talking about, you add on Rome Odunze and you add on DeAndre Swift and you bring in Caleb Williams, you know, he has more of an offensive team than Justin Fields did with that team. And, you know, he is going to be their franchise quarterback. I do think he's going to make some great calls and great plays. The only thing that worries me with the Bears is coaching. And coaching has always been a horrendous thing with the Bears. But, you know, that kind of team has the potential to make it to the playoffs as a 6th or 7th place team. But it ultimately comes down to playmaking. And I do think Caleb Williams, I do think he is NFL ready. We saw that in the preseason. But again, it is preseason. We don't know how it's actually going to be when they start their starting defenses here and there. But I do think he can take them to the playoffs. And like you said, it won't be far, but it'll be a start for the Bears.
Yeah. And the Bears, you know, obviously, they haven't been great for a while. So the Bears fans are hyped up about this. They're excited to see what happens. And I think everybody is, whether you're a Bears fan or not. So that will be interesting to see. Another thing that will be interesting to see is the Cowboys with Dak Prescott almost ready for a new contract with a great team that surrounds him. That's CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott. A lot of players on the Cowboys are good. But Dak Prescott, there's been a lot of talk lately as to whether or not Mike McCarthy, for one, will stay as the coach of the Cowboys. And number two, if Dak Prescott will stay with the Cowboys. And honestly, I think, well, Jerry Jones, for one, doesn't want to pay the players that much. And it's always been that way, you know. And obviously, from a business standpoint, you don't want to give out huge deals. You just don't want to. Obviously, if they deserve it, you still don't want to, but you got to make the choice. So the question is, will Jerry Jones give Dak Prescott another contract? Because the contract he has now, there's a lot of leverage. And this morning when I was listening to ESPN Radio, they were saying how Dak Prescott's contract right now gives him the most leverage in the history of all NFL quarterbacks. So it will be interesting to see. But the main thing that's most interesting to see is whether or not the Cowboys will stick with Prescott and Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
I really honestly think, well, for one, I think Dak Prescott is all right. I think he's kind of like Kirk Cousins. He can be really good in games, and then he can be not so good in others. But Mike McCarthy, I think, is a good coach. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, we saw it this last offseason. The Cowboys didn't pick up anyone free agency, and they had good reason to. I mean, a lot of their star players are on contract years. CeeDee Lamb just got a huge extension. Dak Prescott is playing his final year of his contract. You still have to pay Micah Parsons after his rookie contract expires. You have a lot of players on this team that are in need of contract extensions. And quite frankly, the Cowboys just don't have the money for that. Even if they didn't spend a single penny in the free agency last year, there's no way you can pay those players the money they want. Dak Prescott, I feel like, is a replaceable quarterback. You know, very turnover heavy, makes a lot of great plays passing wise. He was the runner up in MVP last year, but I do think he, you know, is an above average quarterback that will get a spot somewhere else. But I do think the Cowboys will move on for him. You can't pass up Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is a generational player that can, like when Khalil Mack came into the league, he played defensive end and linebacker, and he actually won first team all pro at both positions one year. Micah Parsons is that same way. He can play linebacker. He can play defensive end. He can play defensive tackle for all we know, but he just has that presence on the defense that if you replace him, you're never going to get back. And I can almost guarantee you, if the Cowboys let Micah Parsons go, they will immediately regret it. But Dak Prescott, on the other hand, you know, he's trying to ask for $60 million a year. You know, does he deserve it? Maybe. Has he played to that potential? Sure. But I don't see Jerry Jones giving him that contract. And I see him picking up either a veteran quarterback next year, drafting a quarterback next year, whatever the case may be. I don't see Dak Prescott staying on this team much longer. And, you know, offensively, you still have Brandon Cook, you still have Jake Ferguson, and all these players that can make another quarterback play to that level that Dak Prescott is playing at.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at Dak Prescott, he's a good quarterback, we mentioned that, except he can't always do it. And not only that, except he gets hurt a lot. And that's another thing about Dak Prescott. So honestly, when it comes time, I honestly do not think he will get the deal. I don't see it happening, and I honestly don't think he should. I'll just say that. But when you, and the reason for that is because Micah Parsons, obviously, like you mentioned, a generational player. So I think if the Cowboys are going to give a big deal, I think that they need to be focused on Parsons, not Prescott, because they can, like you said, draft a quarterback or pick up a veteran quarterback. And I think that they'll be able to find somebody who can lead the Cowboys to success more than Dak Prescott can.
Yeah, and I mean, look at the playoff record. He's 2-5 in the playoffs. That's not a record you want your star quarterback to have. Granted, you know, there's been some questionable decisions over the years, but that still shouldn't have gotten to that point where those questionable decisions should have been made. You know, Dak Prescott, I do think he'll get a deal worth his money. I don't think it'll be the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's crazy. 2-5 in the playoffs. You look at Joe Flacco, who came off of the couch and led the Browns to an incredible playoff run. Anyways, talking about contracts, we're going to go on to Ja'Marr Chase, who has not been on the field recently. He keeps waiting and not showing up to practice. And when they ask Zach Taylor, the coach, about it, at first he said, oh yeah, he'll be here. And then he didn't show up. And then Zach Taylor was like, uh-oh, I spoke too soon. And then when he was asked about it again, Zach Taylor said, oh, well, we'll see. And they saw Ja'Marr Chase walking in and not practicing. So what do you think, Tyler? Should they give him the deal? What should they do about this? You know, obviously earlier you said we don't know if he'll be playing in the first game. But do you think they'll work it out with him? I mean, I do. He's a great player. I don't think they want to get rid of him, but I think they'll work it out with him just so that he'll be able to play for them.
Yeah, and I will probably go on a rant about, like, a small rant about this, because it's the NFL. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase still has 2 years left on his contract. CeeDee Lamb had a year left in his contract, and he knew he was going to get the money. It's just one of those things where it's just greed. And I don't want to say it's a security thing because, you know, some players, they want to get that, you know, contract done where they're on like the decline of their career where they might not get re-signed. Like, for example, Von Miller, he got a 6-year, $120 million contract with the Bills, and he hasn't really done much with the Bills. And I think players look at that and they're like, well, if I hold out, maybe I'll get the money that I want and I won't have to play super, super well, but I can still play to that level kind of thing. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you sign the contract, play out your contract, and if you deserve a new contract, then you rightfully deserve it. But don't, like, hurt your team from it. And I don't like NFL players doing that. Ja'Marr Chase is a prime example. Hassan Reddick is also a prime example. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, like you had mentioned with Zach Taylor, where he questioned, like, if he was going to play or not. We saw earlier that he was at practice. Do we know if he's actually going to play? No, we don't. He might just be keeping his conditioning up so that when he does get a new contract, he can play. But it's like at that point where it's like, you're already out there, just play. And, you know, we see Hassan Reddick. He's racked up, I think, almost $3 million in fines. And he still has yet to attend a Jets event, whether it be training, camp, workouts, anything. Like, he has not stepped foot onto the Jets facility. And it's one of those things where you got traded to where the Eagles traded you. You knew what you were going into. So why are you sitting out and racking up all this money? And it's aggravating because it's like teams give you this contract. They bring you on this team hoping that you're going to make an impact. And when you don't want to, when you're not playing for the money you want, you're going to hold out and hurt your team even more. It's like, why would you even come to that place in the first place? And like, we saw Trent Williams, we saw Brandon Ayuk. Trent Williams was basically holding out. And I think it scared the Niners because they're like, we can't lose our best offensive tackle. Same thing with Brandon Ayuk. That's their like true receiver beside Deebo Samuel. Because Deebo Samuel is more of like a shortened distance where he can make plays out of nothing. Brandon Ayuk can run 30 yards down the field and make a one-handed catch over someone. But it's just that thing where it's like, put your greed aside and put your ego aside and just play for what you have right now. And if you play better, you can use that for more money in your contract where it's like, you know, hey, I broke the record. I think I deserve this. Or, hey, I did this. I deserve this. Where it's like, you're holding out and now you're hurting everyone on the organization. And I think that's one thing a lot of players back then didn't do. They played for their pride. They didn't play because their ego was like up there. I mean, you look at Manning, you look at Brady, you look at Fitzgerald, you look at, you know, all those players. And even like, for example, like you look at JJ Watt, like all those players played because they had pride in their team. Even when they were the crappiest team in the league, they still played for pride. They didn't want to go play somewhere else. They didn't want to play for a ton of money. They wanted to play because they wanted to play. They're not holding out. They're not going to hurt their team because that's not what a team player does.
Yeah, exactly. I think you said it all. You know, I'm going to jump on that rant too. And I love that you used Tom Brady as an example. Number one, because you know how much of a Tom Brady fan I am. But also, because that is a prime example. Like, we saw Brady win 7 Super Bowls throughout his career. And when you look at how much money he made, it was not a lot. And the reason is because he wanted his team to get paid. He wanted to have a good team around him. And by having that, he had to take less money. And you see one player get an outrageous contract. And then here comes another one who wants more. And it's like, when is it going to be enough? When is it going to stop? And it's not. I really don't think it's going to. And like you said, J.J. Watt, Peyton Manning, all those players, and Tom Brady, they played for pride. They played because they wanted to play. And now, these days, you see people not showing up to practice, not showing up to meetings, not showing up to whatever it is that they should be showing up to. And it just kind of, like, not only does it look bad for the team, which obviously they don't care, but it kind of disappoints the fans. And I think that they should care about, because they would not be in the position that they are in without the fans. And then they are not showing up to the games or practice or whatever it is. So it's very, very surprising that these players, they do that. And you know, obviously they're fined each event that they miss, but they don't care. And that's another thing that is, like, confusing. Obviously they will be making more money by a new contract than they would be losing from, I don't know, sitting out or whatever you would call it. But I don't know. It's like, just do what you need to do. Show up and do what you signed up to do.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, you look at our generation. I'm not going to say our generation is great, but it's like, our generation is very much like, we deserve this because of this. And I see it a lot at work. And we see people come in, oh, wow, great pay. And then when we tell them, hey, you have to do this, they're like, we really have to do that. I'm like, yes, you signed up for the job. That is your job position. And it's kind of like that in the NFL. You get these players that come in and they think they're the best of the best. I mean, look at Caleb Williams, for example, when he first was declaring for the draft. He wanted ownership of whatever team he got drafted by. He wanted to make his own decisions like a general manager. Like, no, you don't get that power when you come into the league as a rookie. Tom Brady didn't even get that power as a quarterback when he won his 7th Super Bowl. Like, you don't get that power, even when you work your hardest to it. And I feel like watching these players hold out is just setting up a bad example for college players and, you know, high school players that want to end up going to the NFL. And it's just one of those things where, you know, you look at it and you're like, why are they doing this? Like, it really doesn't help them. Especially Ja'Marr Chase, for example. Ja'Marr Chase wants a new contract that pays him a penny more than Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson is on a whole nother level compared to Ja'Marr Chase. And I couldn't tell you why Ja'Marr Chase wants that, but it's just a petty level of greed. And, you know, like, future players in the NFL are looking at this and are like, well, if I can do this, I can get paid more too. And who knows, like, are we going to see future rookie players doing this too, where they're sitting down thinking, oh, you know, my rookie contract is crap. Let me sit out and show the team, like, you guys need me more than I need you. And we saw that a little bit with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, and a little bit with Marvin Harrison. But it was one of those things where it was like, these players are intentionally going to sit out eventually until they get paid what they want. And, you know, especially with all these contracts nowadays, everyone wants to be the highest paid player for their position. I mean, we saw Patrick Surtain become the highest paid corner in NFL history. The other day, we saw Michael Carter II get paid the highest corner for slot position in NFL history. The other day, we see, you know, CeeDee Lamb gets paid for the second highest contract for wide receiver. Like, it's too much money. And it's like, do you want to win the Super Bowl or do you want to become rich? And that's something we saw with Tyreek Hill a few years ago when he went to the Dolphins. He's like, I want to be rich and go play my final years with the Dolphins with Tua. And it was like, you missed your chance on two more Super Bowls because of that stupid decision. And now he's looking back, he's like, man, you know, I wish I could be with the Chiefs. Then why take a bigger contract with the Dolphins? And it's just like, that kind of thing aggravates me. Because it's like, you want to do all this stuff, but then you're asking for too much money. And the teams are going to be like, no, we're fine without you.
Exactly. So now that we talked about all of the contract holdouts and our thoughts on it, we are going to end the podcast with some story times. Now, we're going to do this every podcast, a story about sports, because we think you guys should know, otherwise we wouldn't be telling you. Okay, so starting off, I'm going to tell you guys what has been happening to me lately.
Oh, man. So it's great.
So I have recently been converted into an Arizona Cardinals fan.
By yours truly.
Before I was a Patriots fan. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They don't have an NFL team. So I had to pick a team. And when I was a little kid, watching Tom Brady on TV was always so cool. I got to grow up watching him make history every time he stepped onto the field. So I grew up a Patriots fan. Recently, I just went with Tyler and we made some friends, Joy and Mike, who we all went to the Cardinals training every single game or every single practice, whatever. And then, anyways, so Marvin Harrison Jr., who just got drafted by the Cardinals, and with me switching over to be a Cardinals fan, I wanted to get his jersey. Except, the thing is that you can't get it on Fanatics. Right now, there is a Fanatics and Marvin Harrison problem. There's like a court case. Tyler, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll talk about it. So recently, after Marvin Harrison got drafted, it's common practice for players to sign their, you know, the NFLPA for, you know, their name, likeliness, and image. And it's one of those things where, you know, when players come on into the league, they have to sign all the stuff so they can sell, you know, jerseys, pictures, autographs, whatever the case may be. Well, Marvin Harrison was one of those players in college that everyone knew about. Kind of like Tavon Austin. Everyone knew about him. They all wanted his autograph because of how good of a player he was. So when Marvin Harrison came into the league, he, in quotes, supposedly had a contract with Fanatics in college that he signed. And we don't know if it's true or not, if he did or not. That's why there's a whole lawsuit going on with Fanatics and Marvin Harrison. But supposedly what happened was Marvin Harrison signed a deal, or Marvin Harrison Jr. signed a deal with Fanatics saying, hey, we're going to sign you to a multi-year contract where if you get drafted, we can use your name, your number, your jersey, whatever team you're on, and we're going to sell that with the NFL. And allegedly it came out that Marvin Harrison never signed the contract. So that's why there's this huge lawsuit going on. And Fanatics is getting involved. And Marvin Harrison just recently started this, I don't know, like memorabilia site where he's selling old Ohio State Buckeye jerseys with his autograph. He's selling Buckeye helmets, you know, whatever the case may be. And he's working with his dad in this website. So it's not just his stuff. It's also his dad's, where, you know, like when he was with the Colts and stuff like that. So they have this website. So they're making money off selling their autographs and stuff. And I think Fanatics looked at it like if he did sign his contract, it's more of like a contract breach, because technically you're not supposed to be selling stuff without their permission, especially since they're in charge of all that memorabilia stuff. So there's a whole thing going on right now. And because of the situation with Fanatics, Fanatics has came out and said Marvin Harrison jerseys can't be sold in NFL team shops, whatever the case may be. So for Cardinal fans out there, everyone wants a Marvin Harrison jersey. No one can get it officially because they aren't selling them, whether it be Fanatics, Dick's Sporting Goods, Just Sports, Lids, any place like that. You're not going to find a jersey. So Alex here, I was telling her about where I got mine. I'll talk a little bit later with that. But I had to get mine as a knockoff. So I told Alex, hey, if you want a Harrison jersey, you should get a knockoff of it because it'll probably arrive, because we might not get official Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey till next year. So Alex, I'll let you take away the rest of your story with your jersey mishap.
So Tyler got one and he's like, Alex, you should get one if you want one, because if not, you won't be able to get one for a while. So I'm like, oh, great. Like, yay, it's cheaper than one for Fanatics. So I go on eBay, because the ones on Fanatics, they're like $150 or whatever, which that's fine if you like the player. I can see buying it, like Tom Brady. But anyways, so I go on eBay to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. one, like $35. So I buy it, and I'm like waiting, and then I look at the tracking, and it says, oh, it's in Chicago. And it was in Chicago for like 2 weeks. I'm like, what is it doing? So I'm still waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It became a month. So I finally get it in the mail. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm like, I can't wait to open it. So I come get it at my house. And I open the package and it's white. Well, first of all, my first question is, why is it white? Because I ordered the black one. And then when I take it out of the package, it's like orange and teal. And I'm like, what? Like, what is happening here? And obviously, at that point, I realized I got the wrong one. So I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm annoyed. And then I'm like thinking in my head before I can get the jersey out all the way. I'm like, well, whose is this? Because if I got the wrong one, I hope it's at least somebody good.
Oh, it's definitely someone good.
So then I take it out. Yeah. So I take it out all the way. I open it up and it's Dan Marino. So I'm like, I send Tyler a picture and I'm like, well, I don't know when Marvin Harrison changed his name, but this is the one that I
got. Keep in mind, it's funny because she was a Patriots fan and she got a Marino jersey. That's like, I don't know, that's just hilarious to me. Like, that's like the ultimate, like, rubbing your face, like, I just gave you the wrong freaking jersey.
It's thrown in the corner. Okay, so, so I'm like, whatever, like, what the heck. I couldn't deal with it at that point because I was busy, but I send the guy a message later on, and I'm like, hey, you gave me the wrong one. So he's sending me another one, but I'm going to have to wait another month, and hopefully I don't get, who knows, the Jets jersey or something. Anyways, so I'll be waiting for my Marvin Harrison replacement jersey, except in the meantime, I got a Larry Fitzgerald jersey on eBay. So I got it for like $30 or whatever. And then I get a message that says, oh, the order is canceled. So I'm like, well, why is it canceled? So I message the person and I'm like, hey, how come my order got canceled? So the guy goes, oh, well, when we were shipping it to you, it got damaged. So we refunded you. So I'm like, okay, great. So then I look for a different one. I find one, same price. So I'm like, yay. So I buy it. So I bought that one, except in the meantime, I was trying to find, like, on eBay, it can be kind of scary because it's like, what am I going to get? Is this fake? Is it real? Is it bought that never got worn? So I'm like looking through all these options, trying to figure out which one's fake, which one's real, which one never got worn, blah, blah, blah. So I put in an offer on one. And it, the one that I put in an offer, it's like an amazing jersey. So I put in an offer because I'm like, well, this person probably just wants to sell it. So I put the offer in and it gets declined. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not putting in more than this because I could get the other one for cheaper. And I really don't care as long as they're nice and whatever. So I'm like, okay, forget that one. And so then the next day, he sends me another offer after I declined. And then I'm like, no, I'm still not happy with the offer. So I decline it again and I put in an offer. Except then I get a notification that the other one got bought, like by me. And then by the time I was able to cancel my offer, it got accepted. So now I have a Dan Marino jersey. I have Marvin Harrison, probably in Chicago. Well, hopefully Marvin Harrison. And then I have two Fitzgerald jerseys coming to me. So I think that I'm good on jerseys for the rest of my life. Because I
trust me, you're going to end up with more Cardinal jerseys over the years.
But
you say that now, and you're going to be like, oh man, this player is so good. I want his jersey.
Yeah, and I'm not buying them on eBay anymore. Because I'll end up with 30 of them. Or
I should just send you the website where I got mine from. I should just do that.
But anyways, for all you Cardinals fans, if there's any of you guys listening, which hopefully there is, if you go look online, Pat Tillman's jersey has been on sale on Fanatics, and so has Anquan Boldin. So I'm not the only Fitzgerald fan here. Tyler's also a huge one. And he's going to tell you a story about a cup that he got where some guy tried to buy it from him.
Yeah, so this was my very first Cardinal game. And I always tell people that the first Cardinal game that I went to was the Cardinal Packer game in the divisional round of 2015. But realistically, it was this game against the Bills. And the only reason I don't say that that was my first NFL game is because I was too young. And when I say I was too young, I didn't understand football at the point like where I am now. It was one of those things where my dad was like, well, we have tickets. Let's just go see. And, you know, we're walking around and I'm like, I'm getting a little hungry. I was like, I want to get something to eat, drink. So my dad's like, okay. So for you people that don't know, they have these loyalty cups, like collector cup things, where every year they would have new cups. I don't think they do it anymore, but I think this stopped like right before COVID, but they would have a new cup every game. So like a different player would be a different cup each game. So for instance, you might get like Calais Campbell one game, and you might get David Johnson the next game, or like so on and so forth, or whatever. So this game that I went to, they were selling Larry Fitzgerald cup. And it was like one of those 3D ones where it's like you move it and the guy does something different. Well, this cup was such a big hit that it sold out pretty quickly. And I, at the time, I didn't know, because I was like, oh, you know, it's a cool cup. So we're walking around. I'm carrying this cup in my hand. And this guy who's probably not much older than 28 comes up to me, or he comes up to my dad. He's like, sir, where did you get that cup? He's like, I need to know where you got it. He's like, they're sold out everywhere. And my dad's like, oh, you know, we got it from this place over here, but my son actually got the last one. And he's like, can I pay you for that cup? And my dad's like, oh no, you got to go ask him. Like, it's his cup. So the guy comes up to me and he's like, hey kid, he's like, I'm going to make you a deal. He's like, I'm going to give you $9 for this Larry Fitzgerald cup. I don't know
what it for.
Yeah, it was $9. And I think the cup was like maybe like $6 or $7, because obviously you get the drink with it and then you get the cup with it. But I remember at the time when he told me, he's like, I'll give you for $9. I remember in my head, I was like, I could get a Lego set with this. And I don't know why, but I turned him down. I was like, no, I can't take the money. And he's like, dang it. He's like, no, go find someone else. So he took off with his money. And I was like, oh, well. I was like, so I actually still have the cup. I think it's somewhere in my room, because I cleaned it out and just kept it in my, like a display somewhere. But that, and then going back to Alex with her jersey. So I had got my Marvin Harrison jersey too. And I got it from this website from China. And I was driving home from California and I was texting Alex. I was like, I think I should get a Marvin Harrison jersey. Like, I think it'd be cool to like get like a jersey that he signed for the first time. And, you know, driving around and I get home and I'm trying to make payments. And this guy's like, oh, we'll accept you. We'll send you an email of where you can display your card at. I was like, no. I was like, I'm not getting scammed right now. So I looked for a different website. I found this guy, and he's making the Color Rush jerseys. And for you that don't know, it's the black jersey with the red number, and then it has like the silver and red stripes on the sleeves. And that's always been like my favorite kind of jersey, is the Color Rush. So I was like, I have to get a Color Rush jersey. Well, the problem was, this guy wasn't selling Harrison jerseys. So I had to ask him, I was like, hey, can I get this Kyler Murray jersey, but can I customize it to say Harrison Jr. with the number 18? And he's like, sure. So I pay him. It's like $50, nothing crazy. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I should be able to get it by like the last week of training camp. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, when's it coming? And when's it coming? And the first week, nothing. And second week, I text him. I'm like, hey, just curious, when am I get this jersey? He's like, oh, well, you know, it's a custom-made jersey, so it takes a little bit longer to make. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? So then two more days pass by, and then he's like, how does this look? I was like, it looks great. Just send it to me. So he sends it over, and I'm telling everyone about it. And like Alex said, we were with a couple people. So I was telling Mike and Joy, they're an older couple that we spent training camp with. I was telling our friend Matt, And I was like, dude, I have this Harrison jersey that's coming in. I was like, I don't know when it's coming in, but I hope I get signed by him. I was like, it'd be amazing. And it just so happened that we had got his autograph and his picture a day or two after they had shipped the jersey. So I'm thinking, okay, well, at least I have his autograph and a picture. Like, maybe I could still get his autograph on my jersey. And so, you know, we're going through this whole thing here and there. And by the time I get my jersey, there's 2 days of practice left. I'm like, okay, maybe there's a chance he'll sign it. So the first day or the second to last day, I have his jersey hanging over the ledge. Like, maybe he'll see it. And, you know, he's doing the jug machines and then he walks away. But as he's walking away, he turns his head and looks at me. And he's like walking slower and slower to the locker room. And he continues walking to the locker room. I'm telling Alex, I'm like, he totally saw the jersey. He just never wanted to come over here. And Alex is like, oh, that's so terrible. And she's talking about Trey McBride and Sean Murphy Bunting because she had a little certified hater moment, if I should say, with both of them. And so, you know, we're talking about that. And the last day rolls around and like, okay, this is the last chance. And Alex is like, oh, well, I can make a sign for Marvin Harrison if you want. And on the back, I can put like Sean Murphy Bunting too. And I was like, sure. Like, that'll like maybe get him to come over to us so I can get a jersey. The Sean Murphy Bunting thing was pretty cool. And I'll have to let Alex tell you that story with his experience with him.
Yeah. So obviously I made the sign. Okay. Well, let me just clarify. So earlier I said I was a Patriots fan and I was Patriots. And then when Tom Brady went to the Bucks, I became a Buccaneers fan. And then I was still Patriots. I don't know. Situation with my teams has been crazy. So anyways, well, on the Buccaneers, the center back, Sean Murphy Bunting, then he went to Tennessee and then he went to the Cardinals. So I'm like, oh my gosh, Sean Murphy Bunting. And I'm like trying to get his autograph every day of training camp. We went for like 2 weeks. And I just could not get his attention. So I'm like, I need to finally make a sign. Like, this is the last chance. This is it. Like, this is the last day. So I make a sign. It said Sean Murphy Bunting supporter since day one. Then on the back it said, the man, the myth, the Maserati for Marvin Harrison. And there was also a picture of him on the sign. So I take the sign to the training. And then we have another friend named Kaylee who made a sign for Kyler Murray. I'll let Tyler, you can tell that story. So I'm holding the sign for Sean Murphy and I'm flipping it over for Marvin Harrison. And then after the training, I'm like looking at Sean Murphy. He was across the stadium. I was like, there is no way. No way. This is it. Not getting his autograph this training camp. It is what it is. I tried. That's all I can do. Okay, so a few minutes later, he was talking with his coach and whatever. So a few minutes after that, like it was probably like, I don't know, 5 minutes after all the other players were already signing. So I'm like, Sean Murphy's not signing. He's leaving after he talks to his coach. But anyways, after that, he started walking towards me. And I'm like holding up the sign even higher because I'm like, the whole practice, I did not think that he saw it. And I'm like, he didn't see it. So I'm like trying to hold it up higher. And then he saw me like put it up higher because Kyler Murray was in front of us. And I'm like holding the sign up. And then Sean Murphy started like kind of laughing. And then I saw him like he was starting to take his gloves off. And as he was walking towards me, he's like, these are for you. So he handed me his gloves. And then he was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe that you made this sign. That's so awesome. Thank you so much. And then I was like, yeah, do you mind if we get a picture? And he's like, yeah, sure. So he got my phone, took it to the security guard, took the picture. And then he was like, this is so cool. I'm going to get a picture of it. And I was like, oh, well, you can actually just take it with you. You can have it. So he took it with him, signed all my stuff. He gave me his pair of gloves. He signed my mini helmet. He signed a picture. So then when he got into the locker room, He posted a picture of the sign and was like, fan love. So I sent him a message and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you saw the sign. Thank you so much for everything, blah, blah, blah. I did not think there was a chance of him responding, and he did. He responded. He was like, no, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming out. And then that was it. So that was the story of Sean Murphy coming over to us. A great guy, great person, great player. So we will be cheering for him this season and beyond. Kyler Murray, also awesome. I'll let you tell that story.
Yeah, so beginning of the last training camp, it so happened to be Kyler Murray's birthday. And our friend Matt and Kaylee, they came together and they're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we made a birthday letter for Kyler Murray? And I was telling him, I was like, oh yeah, there was something like this that happened a couple years ago where this fan made a letter and it was like, thank you, Cardinal fans, for training camp. We're always going to support you. And she went around the stadium, had everyone sign it. I was like, oh, you can do that with the birthday card. She's like, oh, that would be awesome. So she had this birthday. It was like, happy birthday, K1, whatever. And she went around the stadium signing it. And they had like, they bought like the sriracha sauce, because I guess it was like his sriracha sauce. And, you know, it was one of those really cool things, because after the training camp, the news was like always trying to talk to them, like, oh, like, what made you come up with that, this idea, this and that? And she's like, well, you know, we got my friend Matt here went to go buy supplies and all this stuff, and we thought it would be a cool idea to get everyone involved with it. So Kyler Murray ended up coming over, and he's like, oh man, you guys got me sriracha, this and that. And he's like, oh, this is so cool, like having the sign and everything. So Kyler Murray ended up posting something like, the best fans or something like that with the birthday sign. It was really cool though. But yeah, that was pretty much our last day of training camp, where all this stuff happened with Sean Murphy bunting, Marvin Harrison, Kyler Murray. And it was probably one of the best training camps that I've been to in a while. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be something that we do, I believe.
It was a lot of fun. And especially being able to just kind of experience everything and meet new people. And obviously, we talked about Joy and Mike. They're some amazing people. And then Matt and Kaylee. So shout out to all of them. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up this week's podcast. You know, first podcast. I know it's a little bit longer than, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be, you know, almost 2 hours. But we would just like to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in this week. And we'll hopefully see you guys next week with the results of week one for the NFL season and other things going around. But as for now, this is Tyler and Alex, and we'll see you later on the X and O's.